Welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldman, a 30-minute walk through the Scriptures, teaching in-depth Bible truths that change people's lives. Now, here's your host, Les Feldman.
Okay, here we are, number four, and for those of you joining us on television, again, we're just a simple Bible study. We are not connected with any group. I don't have a large church, so don't write and ask me about being a pastor or anything like that. I'm just a layman, but anyway, the Lord has seen fit to use us, whatever we are. And we just ask people to search the Scriptures. Don't go by what I say. Don't go by what your denomination says. It might get you in trouble. You search the Scriptures, because that's where it's at. Because men are prone to get fouled up in their thinking. I'm amazed once in a while the things that great men of reputation can come up with. And I hope and pray it'll never happen to me, because it can. I can see that. So anyway, we want to thank our TV audience and all of you here for being so faithful in your prayers and your giving. Otherwise, we could never accomplish it. All right, we're going to continue right on in our study of the book of Hosea. And remember, in our last closing moments, we were talking about that when the church is completed, then God will come back and pick up His program with Israel. Now, before we go into chapter 4, I want to jump back to verse 5 of chapter 3 for just a second, because here we have that same word as we saw in Amos and in Acts chapter 15, after. After shall the children of Israel return. They're going to come back from this time out in the dispersion. The children of Israel return. They will seek the Lord their God and David their king. Now, here again, don't get confused by that, because Christ in Scripture is the son of David. And although some teach that David may rule and Christ over David, I'm not going to make a big argument of it, but I don't think so. I think Christ is going to rule from David's throne on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. And they shall fear the Lord and His goodness in the latter days. Well, that's where we are. We're in the latter days, I think, of God's program for Israel and for the world. All right, now let's jump into chapter 4. And again, God's going to come right back and deal with Israel's sin. And all their sin is associated with their idolatry. And I'll point that out as we come to it. Verse 1, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. See, now this isn't written to us. This is written to Israel. But it's for our learning, as Paul puts it. So it's still Scripture. It's the word of God. But it's not written to us. It's written to the Jew. All right, so hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy. He's got a point that he's dissatisfied with the nation. He has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land because, now look at their condition. There is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break out blood touching blood. In other words, they are murdering so often that the blood of one victim is almost mingling with the blood of the next one. All right, but now let's just go and see how close we are worldwide to this same situation as we go to Paul in 2 Timothy. Oh, I had to think a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And see, if we aren't in the same scenario that Israel was in back at the time of Hosea. Now, this is Paul's preview of the end of the church age. Not the tribulation, but the church age. So that's what I maintain when people say, well, the church isn't going to get raptured until in the tribulation. Then why doesn't Paul make any reference to disaster and death and destruction? He doesn't. Not a word of that. But on the other hand, it's a complete moral breakdown, even as you saw in Hosea. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this is the state of the world as the church is approaching its end on earth. Verse 1, 2 Timothy 3. This know also, that in the last days, that is, the last days of the church age now, perilous times shall come. Well, if you don't think we're there, you're not living in the world that I'm living in. And I'm out here in the boondocks of southeastern Oklahoma. So if I can be aware of it, certainly anyone should be, that this is exactly where we are. Now, verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. What's the fancy word for it? Narcissism? Is that the word? Yeah. All people live for is the I. I. Nuts to you, what's good for me? All right, that's a sign of the end time. They'll be covetous. Now again, what does Scripture always associate with coveting? What we're dealing with in Israel, idolatry. Now, granted, we're not living in a society in America with wooden idols on every hilltop. We aren't associating with a society that is falling down and worshiping the gods and goddesses. But we've got all this materialism that is just as bad. And so you can equate idolatry with that. All right, reading on. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. What's that? What'd they call it back in Hosea? Swearing. See? Same thing. Disobedient to parents. My. Nobody can argue that, can we? Unthankful. Are people thankful today? You can't hardly find it on Thanksgiving Day. They don't thank God for anything. They just take it all for granted. Well, it's all a mark of the end of the age. Unholy, without natural affection. What does that tell you? Why do we find newborn infants in the garbage bin? Why do we find this murder of these little 2-3-year-old kids who are defenseless? No natural affection. They have no love even for their own flesh and blood. Now, I know, listen, whenever I talk about these, I know that's not the majority. I'm not sitting here and telling people that 90% of America are like this. No, it's a minority, but unfortunately, it's a large enough minority that it's affecting the whole. I know that. Okay, let's read on. Truce breakers. Now, that's another thing. My goodness, you know, when I first started farming, I could go to the bank and I could borrow money till who laid the rail with a promissory note with nothing on it but my signature. Can you do it today? No way. Why? Because society has gotten so corrupt that anytime somebody loans money, they got to cross every T and dot every I or they're going to get snookered. Because that's the mentality of the day. All right, reading on. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Now, you know what I had to think of the other day when I read this? The guy that went in and shot those little Amish girls. Imagine the mentality. Those good little kids that wouldn't hurt a mouse. And they'd just go out in cold blood and shoot a bunch of them. But see, it's happening all the time. It's a part of the end time. Reading on. Traitors. My goodness, I don't have to comment on that, do I? The New York Times especially. Oh, my goodness. When I read what they put out, they're traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness. I don't have to comment on that either, do I? And denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Paul says, have nothing to do with them. Oh, they may be in church. They may be singing in the choir or whatever they're doing. But listen, if it isn't biblical, then we're to have nothing to do with it. They are part of the devil's crowd. Okay, back to Hosea again. So God has a controversy with the nation of Israel because of their ungodliness and their wicked lifestyle. Now verse 3. Therefore, because of their wickedness, therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish. Now here's the point I have to make. I've done it before as we've studied God's controversy with the nation of Israel. I know that scripturally I can't say, well, this is what it's talking about. But I think we can all draw an analogy between our beloved America and Israel. And I do that only because we have been in such a place of privilege as a nation of people, like no other nation on earth. We were founded on biblical principles. And godly men prayed. I don't say they were necessarily born again, but they were godly good men. And so I think we have been put in a place of special responsibility. We've had the Bible in every home in America, many copies of it. That makes us responsible. And the more responsibility God lays on a nation, the more what? He expects in return. And so I feel that as God was dealing with ungodly Israel, He is also going to deal with our beloved America because of our rejecting all of His overtures of goodness. All right, reading on. The land shall mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish. The believing element, right along with the rest. See, and that's the part that's scary. If God judges America because of their wickedness, are we as believers going to escape it? Well, of course not, unless the rapture takes us out. No, we're going to suffer the horrendous responsibilities that have been laid upon us. And we're not going to escape. Neither did the believers in Israel. See, now let me take you back a minute to Isaiah. Keep your hand here. Come back to Isaiah. Every last Jew wasn't in this condemnation. They had a remnant of believers. And this is what I want you to see with your own eyes. Isaiah. Did I say chapter 2? No, chapter 1. I want Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 9. And this was typical of Israel all through their history. They had that little remnant of believers. Isaiah 1, verse 9. Except, or unless, the Lord, again Jehovah, unless the Lord of hosts had left unto us, the nation, a very small remnant. Now, what do you call a very small remnant, percentage-wise? 10%? 5%? 4%? 3%? I don't know. But there was only a small percentage of Jews in the 12 tribes of Israel that were still adhering to the God of Abraham. The rest had fallen completely into idolatry. And the gods and goddesses of antiquity that we're going to see here, I don't know if it's in this chapter or next taping, but here they were falling prostrate to these pagan gods and goddesses. Unbelievable. But yet, don't ever forget, there was that small remnant of believers. All right, back to Hosea. Verse 3 again. Therefore shall the land mourn, everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish. The beasts of the field, the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea, shall be what? Taken away. The land will have nothing left. Well, now, the first thing I have to think of is the economy. Because even back in antiquity, the nation had to operate on an economy of trade and selling and buying. Well, how can you buy and sell if you've got nothing to buy or nothing to sell? Well, the same way in America. What if our economy should crash? What if? I hope it never does, but what if? What's going to happen? Hey, even the people who think they're pretty well set will have nothing. You know, always remember Germany, if you know anything about history. Germany after World War I, the horrendous inflation. And even the wealthiest of the German people had to almost beg to buy a loaf of bread. So don't think it can't happen. But the same way in Israel. Their whole economy of bartering or selling or whatever you want to call it would collapse. They'd have nothing to keep them going as a nation. All right, verse 4. So let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people, the nation of Israel, are as they that strive with the priests, the religious leaders. Verse 5. Therefore will fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy money, not thy mother. Now, what are we seeing here? That the religious leadership, the prophets and the priests of Israel, were just as wicked and sinful as the ordinary guy on the street. In fact, they were leading the people into all this wickedness, as we're going to see later in Hosea. It was the leadership that took them down. You know, I was thinking yet this morning, sometime before we came up here, the old Southern Baptist preacher, I think he was president of the Southern Baptist Convention way back in the 40s or 50s. I've referred to him on the program before, Vance Havner. And he made the comment that as he was a little boy walking through those huge pine forests in the Carolinas, one day he just noticed that when a tree died, where did it start dying? At the top. And that was the point of his sermon. That if a denomination or a nation is going to die spiritually, it starts with the leadership. And every nation that has ever fallen, or every empire that has ever fallen, it starts at the top. Look at our vast denominations today. My, the people out in the pew write to me one after another. Les, what can we do? Well, it's not the guy in the pew that's going down the tube. It's the leadership. And it's the same in Israel. It was the priests who were going into wickedness and ungodliness. Okay, let's read on. Verse 6. My people, Israel, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. Well, what's he talking about? They had no understanding of God and His principles. They had no understanding of who God really was. That's why they could go and fall prostrate before some female goddess. All right, but now I got another verse comes to mind. Come back with me, honey, to 1 Corinthians. I think it's chapter 2. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2. And these biblical principles go from cover to cover. From Adam to the end of the age. And they never change. And what's the warning? That's why we teach. Oh, I want people to come out of their ignorance of the Scriptures. And I always, when I use that word, I'm always quick to follow up with what? Ignorance isn't a lack of brain cells. When I say someone's in, I'm not putting them down for being unable to learn. Someone who is ignorant is untaught. And they're untaught because someone else has failed in their duty to teach. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Now, Paul is writing to Gentiles. And so he says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That which was wrapped up in secrets held in the mind of God and now revealed through this apostle. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world, in other words, before eternity past ever ended, God already knew about this apostle, and which God ordained before the world to our glory. Now look at verse 8. This is the verse I came for. Which none of the princes or the leaders of this world. Now you got to remember, who were the leaders of the world at the time of Paul? Rome and the temple leadership in Jerusalem. The priests. All right. Now, what did the leaders of Rome and the priests of Israel do? They killed the Messiah. All right, here it is. Which none of the princes of this world knew. In other words, who Jesus was. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, isn't that plain English? Had they known who he was, they would have never attempted to put him to death. They'd have known better than that. But they didn't know who he was. And whose fault was that? Leadership. Somebody failed in teaching the principles. And it's the same way today. Why is the very mass of Christendom so ignorant of the Scriptures? Teachers aren't teaching. And that's the only reason I carry on. Yeah, I'd like to quit. I sometimes get tired and I'd like to just say, hey, let's forget it. No, I don't dare. We have to keep teaching. And we have to let people know, what is this book all about? That yes, Jesus of Nazareth was the Creator God of the universe. And had they known it, they would have never crucified him, but they didn't know. All right, only got a few minutes left. Let's go back to Hosea once again, chapter 4. Reading on in verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. Now remember, they're steeped in idolatry. What was the first commandment? Come on, you people, you know your Ten Commandments. What was the first one? Thou shalt have no other gods before me, neither shalt thou bow down to them. The first commandment. And what's Israel doing? Breaking it. Nationally. See? All right. I will forget thy children. Verse 7. As they were increased. In other words, the more they grew in number, the deeper they went into sin and wickedness. As they were increased, they sinned against me. Therefore, I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. That's all they lived for, was their sinful lifestyle. Verse 9, and there shall be like people, like priests. What does that do? There was no difference. The priesthood was just as guilty of sin and wickedness as the ordinary Jew out there, we say on the street, I guess I should say out there on the trail or whatever. There was no difference. All right, read on. I will punish them for their ways. I will reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. What does that speak of? Food shortage, famine. They're not going to have a full day's food supply. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase. In other words, in spite of all their sexual activity, it's not going to result in more citizens for Israel. Because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Now, verse 9. This could almost come out of Proverbs, couldn't it? Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. In other words, a wicked lifestyle takes away all recognition of the God of Scripture. All right, verse 12. My people, Israel, my people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err. They've gone whoring from under their God. Now, this is not sexual whoring. We're talking about spiritual. Chasing after idols. Don't get the two confused. The nation is chasing after the worship of the pagan idols. All right, now the next verse makes it plain. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills. Now I got to stop again. Why did in antiquity they always set their idols up on the hilltop? They thought they were getting closer to the real God who was above the idols. And so they would set them up on the mountaintops. All right, then there was another favorite place for putting their idol or their place of worship, under a shade tree. Why? Because the Middle East gets hot. It gets hot, and they didn't want to be worshiping out there in that hot Middle Eastern sun, so they would set up their idols under the oaks and the poplars and the elms to be under the shade tree. And here it is, because the shadow thereof is good. It feels good on a hot summer day to get in the shade. Now watch, therefore, because Israel's mentality is steeped in idol worship, therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for they themselves are separated with whores, they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doeth do not understand and shall fall. What's he talking about? Well, you have to know history. At the heart of all pagan idolatrous worship were the what? The female priestesses. And what were the female priestesses? Prostitutes. Brought in as part of temple worship. Well, now you see, when the powers that be would come out and actually confiscate the Jewish daughters and take them into the temples, God didn't hold them responsible. That's why he said he would not punish these daughters of Israel who ended up in these temples as temple prostitutes. They had no control over that. They were victims, see? But this is the whole picture of Israel. They are so steeped in idolatry that it is even bringing in their daughters and their sons and their young husbands to the whole temple environment. And the temple environment in antiquity was rotten to the core. And I can't emphasize it enough that, yes, Israel was finally broken of all this. But what becomes the idols today? Materialism. With all of its temptations and all of its tempting, especially our young people, to go into those things that are contrary to the Word of God.
Thank you for watching Through the Bible with Les Feldick. Through the Bible is a partner-supported ministry. If this program has been a help to your study of the Scriptures and you'd like to see others enjoy the teaching, your support would be greatly appreciated. Write to us at Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kinta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or call 1-800-369-7856. Remember, all programs are available in printed form, audio cassette, and videotape. Be sure to tune in next time to Through the Bible with Les Feldick.